Wisconsin, it's finally here. Yuengling, oldest brewery in America, family-owned and operated for six generations, and now officially in Wisconsin. Whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, just kicking back, I'm reaching for a Yuengling. DG Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
The Green Bay Packers and the Minnesota Vikings meet in the Week 18 regular season finale Sunday afternoon in Minnesota. It is a riveting game with storylines abundant. And to break it all down with us is ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky on Wildy and Tausch. Rob, I see you didn't get a head start like Jason did getting there early in Minnesota to make sure he could capitalize writing on all the intriguing storylines in this Week 18 finale. How are you, Rob?
Yeah, no, I travel regularly, and Jason goes to two road games a year, and he feels like he's got to leave early, I guess. I'm not really sure what's going on there. And he'll let everybody know that he was there, though.
He's geared up.
Oh, I think you know. Rob, I think you know what's going on. I think you're well aware of what's going on.
It's the Channel3000.com Bowl. Looking forward to this one on Sunday.
Game. Yeah. Rob, what is it? You know, obviously the Trayvon Diggs storyline brings a little intrigue. How do you think this all kind of went down? Do you think the Micah Parsons and the McKinney and all of those relationships are a big reason he's here? Yeah. And what kind of impact can he have?
The biggest one might be Derek Ainsley on the coaching staff, because he coached him or recruited him right to Alabama. So I got to believe that Goody and LaFleur are more willing to listen to one of their coaches and their scouts instead of listening to Micah or, you know, Xavier McKinney. I mean, certainly those guys might be good character references. But, you know, here's the thing, Tausch. It's worth a shot, right? I mean, they're paying them, what, 470 grand for a week, which in the NFL is nothing.
That's popcorn
and
money.
And they really don't they really don't have a lot of other options, do they?
No, it's definitely worth a flyer, and especially with – kind of the way that they're looking at not being able to get turnovers. Yeah. That's what he specializes in. So it sounds as if Jason joined us earlier.
Year.
Yeah, no, that's true. He's going to play, it sounds like, right? He's going to play up in Minnesota?
Sounds like it. I mean, that was the hope. Halfley said that they hope to get him in because they want to get him some experience before the playoffs. And, you know, you might as well. I mean, I asked Halfley, you know, is corner the easiest position to get thrown in right away? And, you know, he said on the surface that, yes, he believes that's true, although LaFleur believes that receiver is. And apparently they were talking about it in the office because he was ready for the answer. But he said some will tell you that's the easiest position. You just go tell a guy to cover a guy man to man or tell a guy to play three deep, and that's what it is. But he did make the point. You know, we may pass off coverage different than somebody else do. Do I play bump coverage? If it's three deep, is it a matchup three deep, or are you reading, or how are you handling motions? You know, so it's not necessarily just go cover that guy wherever he goes. There are certain rules to it, but it is probably doable that he could play a little bit on Sunday.
Rob, were you as, I don't want to say taken aback, but surprised by Adam Stenovich's answer about Matthew Golden? Basically not.
Done.
Yeah, explain kind of how Done. That all shook out. And I was very, for those who haven't heard that, kind of explain what that was and why you were so shocked.
Yeah, I mean, basically he was asked, Steno was asked about, you know, Golden's opportunities and, you know, what that could look like going forward. I'm trying to find the exact quote here. It was remarkable to hear him say, I don't know, have you guys played the audio or not?
No, we haven't.
Jesse doesn't clip audio.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Okay, hold on. Bear with me.
Rob, can you clip that audio and send it to Jesse?
I'm on it. So, you know, look, we all know that Golden has not had a ton of opportunities. Even a couple of weeks ago, Jordan Love, was the week going into, I think, the Bears game. He had talked about how I'm sure that Matthew's probably disappointed and we need to do a better job getting him the ball. And he made it sound like it was that he was talking about this season, right? Like to get him the ball this season. Mm-hmm. And here's, let me see here. Let me see what I got here. The short version of the quote from Steno is, I think Colton's got a really bright future. He's talented and his time will come. But I think right now, just with the room the way it is, he's not going to be in that premier role when the playoffs come around. Like, you're already writing him off? Like, that was a bit surprising that Steno would say something like that. I double-taked when I heard it. Clearly that tells you that when they're sitting around game planning right now, that Matthew Golden is not in the number one, two, three progression that they go through, which I guess if you got Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Romeo Doubs, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But just for him to say it was a little surprising.
Now, how would you look at his rookie season so far? Because I think everybody's been clamoring for a first-round wideout forever, and I think Green Bay always looks at it like, we're going to let these guys develop and grow at their timeline. Right. Most people look at, the Odunze, some of these guys that jump in and are impactful right away. Right. That's just not how Green Bay does business, and that's kind of how Golden's played out.
It's a great point, Tausch, and it probably is why they haven't drafted first-round receivers in a long time, because they know that the way this offense works, it's not, targeting. We're going to just, run plays for this guy time after time. Now, when you become, a established number one like Jordy or Devontae and they're probably recent years, then you run plays for those guys. So it's a little bit of a, which came first, the chicken or the egg thing there. But they certainly have not gone out of their way to get him the ball. The surprising thing to me, Tausch, is, and I guess it just goes to show you, you should remind me of this in training camp next year when you ask me about who's standing out and who's doing this. I mean, Matthew Golden was as good as any receiver coming in that I've seen in training camp in a long, long time. I mean, he caught everything. He had one drop the very first day of practice, and it was a high ball over the middle that really went off his hands. It was not a good throw, but it was probably a drop. And after that, I don't think he dropped a single ball. And it's not like he wasn't getting targets. He was getting tons of targets. So that's the thing that's just really baffling to me, is I thought in training camp, man, this guy looked like he was going to be a monster. Now, Luke Musgrave's rookie training camp was really good too. So maybe training camp just means nothing other than getting guys in shape.
Great. Talking with ESPN.
All right, and Rob's training camp breakdown is brought to you by...
That's as good as that day Jason was out there.
What I'm saying is, don't bother reading anything I write in training camp next year.
There you go. Wake me in September is what you're saying.
Turns out when we asked Jason, what are you seeing out there? Nothing really. Like, maybe that is pretty accurate. Talking with Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter on Wildy and Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Are the Packers doing the right thing here, Rob, by starting Clayton Tune against the Vikings on Sunday?
Well, I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions, Jesse. ESPN pays me pretty well, but they don't pay me that well to make, Matt LaFleur is making a lot more money than I am to make those decisions. There's no good decision here. There really isn't. If you play Jordan Love and he gets hurt, you're the worst coach in the world. If you don't play him and Jordan Love comes out in the playoffs and is missing receivers by a mile and, turning the ball over and not making the right reads, well, it's because he didn't play the last 2.5 games of the season. Now, obviously, there's no control over the last game and a half with the concussion protocol. There's nothing you can do about that. But I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this. As you guys know, I've talked about this time and time again. I am a big believer in momentum and confidence. I've always been that way. But at what expense? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm glad I don't have to make those kind of decisions.
Rob, Jason mentioned in his conversation yesterday with Jordan, about the practice and games. And basically, missing 2.5 games is a lot, and then you're going to get thrown into a playoff game. And he basically was saying, well, practice is just the same. And we all know that's just not true, right? Like, to get put in that position, you're going – there's a reason there's games. There's a reason there's practice. Yeah. You're talking on injury, the risk, reward. That is all fair game. But let's not try and act like playing in a game isn't much, much different than practicing.
No, and the only thing, Tausch, I will say this, they have done things that they wouldn't normally do in a week 17 or week 18 practice. They've done more ones against ones. So they are trying to get something out of the ordinary than just your regular offense going against the scout defense and vice versa. They are trying to do more one good against good. And at least that's what Matt LaFleur told us. We're not at practice for, you know, other than taking attendance. So I can't say I've seen it. But, I mean, I don't have any reason to think they're not doing it because multiple guys have talked about it. And that's the only thing you really can do if you're not going to play in games. And no, is it anywhere close to regular season? No, but it is better than going off the cards, right? Like, I mean, the offense going against scout defense is, I mean, I don't want to say it's not full speed, but it certainly isn't much more than about three-quarter speed in practice, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rob, what? You're going up there. You're going up there much later than Jason. Jason's obviously beating you up there by 2 or 3 days, but you're going to be covering this game. What are you looking for? What storylines? Because I'm on to Chicago. I think most of our fans are, let's just get this thing going to the playoffs. Let's go. But there is a game. What are you looking for up there Sunday?
Yeah, I'm looking for someone, you know, to, especially in the secondary, to show that this defense can handle what's to come in the playoffs. And you know, they may not play Keyshawn Nixon. I'm not 100% sure. But they are going to play corners in this game that will have to play in the postseason. And you need to see if those guys can do it. I would love to see if anybody can show any more pass rush ability and disruptiveness that gives you optimism that they can get something done in the playoffs because it hasn't been there the last couple of weeks. Just things like that, Tausch, and just sort of the general vibe of the team. Like, that to me might be the most, interesting thing, just observing body language, how guys are acting in the locker room, on the sideline, that kind of thing. That's about all you can really tell from this game. I mean, I think we all are to the point where let's just get to the playoffs and see if this team's got anything in it.
Yeah, last one for me, Rob. Whether you win or lose this game, you know, there is the, you don't want to have a 4-game losing streak.
Yeah.
But if Jordan's not playing and Jacobs isn't playing and Keyshawn's not playing, you know this as well as I do. When you meet again with the team Tuesday, Wednesday and interview guys, you know what's going to be said, win or lose Sunday. It's a new season. Everybody's record is 0-0. Everything else is thrown out, baby with the bathwater, whatever that is. So that's why I can't get excited about Sunday, because I know how this thing goes. Is that kind of where your camp is too?
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody that's going to this game looks at it like it's basically a preseason game, you know, get through without getting anybody hurt. Maybe somebody makes a play or two and then you put it to bed and move on. Like, I don't know how it works with coaches and film, but I can't imagine that they spend a ton of time reviewing the film of this game. Maybe that's something that you do after the season, because you do want to grade, you know, let's say, I don't know who plays somebody else that plays at center. Let's say Jacob Monk plays center instead of Sean Ryan this week. You do want to grade the tape and, you know, see what Jacob Monk did, but I don't know that you do that right away.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky joining us on Wildy and Tausch. Jason is not treating this like a preseason game. He's saying this is one of the biggest games of the year.
Super Bowl.
Getting ready to head up there for the Channel 3000.com Bowl. Yeah. So two quick questions for you, Rob. Number one, and I want to preface by saying I don't believe this, but I feel like I want to ask you about it.
Let's have a conversation.
No. Well, it's in that same vein, yes. But I do not believe this. I think Matt LaFleur is totally fine coming back next year. Do you believe, because of this losing streak down the stretch, let's say they lose this weekend and then lose in the wild card round to Chicago or Philadelphia, is this game on Sunday in any way a indication of whether Matt LaFleur will continue as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers?
The Vikings game? No, I don't think it has any bearing on it. You know, if you're Ed Policy, I would think by now you know. And here's my standard answer to this, Jesse, is we don't know anything about Ed Policy. We really don't. We had one sit-down conversation with him, the beat writers did, in June or July. And that was, of course, where the lame duck, you know, don't want lame duck things but I'm not giving anybody a contract extension. You know, that's where that comes from. But beyond that, we have zero idea, you know, what Ed Policy is thinking, and that's all that really matters. I do know that when you read national stuff, and we had a piece this week on ESPN.com by Dan Graziano, and I think Jeremy Fowler was the co-author of that, about coaching changes and who could be where. I mean, they didn't even mention Matt LaFleur as possibly being, you know, on the hot seat. I remember being, this was, you know, earlier in the year, but I remember being in New York talking to the Giants beat writers, and they were like, is LaFleur really on the hot seat? Like, there's no way, right? And that's sort of the national perception. But locally, we all nitpick, and I think a lot of teams and fans do that, or a lot of reporters and fans do that with their team because that's what they see on a daily basis. But if I do not know, I don't know what is going to happen with him. This has been the strangest, wackiest season. I wouldn't even begin to guess based on them trading for Micah Parsons. I never would have thought that would have happened. I thought that person was in my office for a second. I don't know if you saw me. Look behind me.
No, it's somebody else. Okay. God, you're seeing ghosts. You're like Sam Darnold.
Digi only.
I am. I don't know where to throw it. But no, I mean, like, there's so many crazy things have happened this season, beginning with Micah Parsons being traded, that I can't rule anything out. I mean, there's a bunch of scenarios. Matt LaFleur is back without a contract, and he is a lame duck. There's the fact he's back with a contract extension. He's not back at all because they fire him or
trade him.
The wild card.
You could trade him.
Yep. Right. That was my last. Yeah, that was my last.
Yep.
One.
Wow.
Yeah, what a weird thing. And again, I don't think that's what's at stake this week. There were a few texts that came in that said, like, choosing to sit the starter is going to be the end of Matt LaFleur. I don't think that has anything to do with the conversation taking
place.
Maybe
he's sitting the starters because he knows he's fine and getting a contract.
Yeah?
I'm just throwing that. I have no idea.
Or maybe he knows that Sunday has no bearing on anything and it all comes down to next weekend, like everybody else thinks, because that's the reality of the situation.
Very, very true.
Last,
Rob, has there ever been? Is this the most irrelevant end of the season game that we've seen?
No, I mean, 2011, right? The Matt Flynn game. I mean, going into that, you wouldn't have thought Matt Flynn was going to throw for 400 yards. Turned out to be a great game, but that was irrelevant, right? I mean, that's just off the top of my head. Maybe Clayton Tune goes for you know, 375, four tuggies, and no picks. You know, and he's getting a contract from the Seattle Seahawks, and then they draft Billy Edwards Jr.
Maybe.
He's in the portal. I don't know if he's – I think he's in the portal.
Last one, Rob. So, I didn't see what Stenovich said because I was too busy reading the Power Rankings article this week. And I know Tausch doesn't read these, so now I can bring it up for him. The Packers check
I like actually seeing quotes that are happening at the stadium.
The Packers check in at number 12. Well, Rob, I don't want to say I feel like you kind of went back to Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur need to get along, but what we learned this season about the Green Bay Packers, they need edge rusher Micah Parsons.
Yeah, that was the best I could do. What else did you learn about this team? That's the only thing I learned is that Micah Parsons is very, very important. He's the only Pro Bowler. I didn't have a lot. I didn't like the assignment. I didn't like the play call. I ran the play. I didn't like the call.
The audible. Okay?
We did 18 weeks of this. You didn't learn anything else except, Micah Parsons is pretty good. They need him out there.
Hey, Jesse, what did you learn? What did you learn about this team?
What did I learn?
I learned something from LaFleur's press conference, which starts in 3 minutes, so I need to get down there.
All right. Well, you go do that, Rob. Right. Thank you. Appreciate it. ESPN NFL Nation Packers reporter Rob Domofsky joining us on Wilde and Tausch.